Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 20, The Structure of the Universe. Text number 17 is on the board because it's a purport. I believe yesterday we just read through 14. Okay, good. So I'll start. I'll just read 14. It was going to be simultaneous translation, but I don't think that's happening. We're doing it upstairs. Okay. Again, I'll just read 14 through 16, and then we'll do 17 together. Hiranyaratha was the king of this island. He divided it into seven parts, which he delivered to his seven sons according to the rights of inheritance. The king then retired from family life to engage in austerities. The names of those sons are Vasu, Vasudana, Dittaruti, Srutyavrata, Nathigupta, Vigupta, and Vamandev. Text 15. Seven boundary mountains known as Chakra, Chaturshoda, Kapila, Chitraputta, Devamika, Ordvaroma, and Dravina. There are also seven rivers known as Ramakulya, Matakulya, Mitravinda, Shotavinda, Devagarbha, Vritachitta, and Mantramala. 16. Ceremonies according to the orders of the Vedic scriptures. Thus, they worship the Lord in his aspect as the demigod of fire. Now, text 17. Keeping it together. Thank you. This is the altar by which the inhabitants of Persia Deep worship the fire god. O fire god, you are a part of the Supreme Personality of God in Hari. We carry to him all the offerings of sacrifices. Therefore, we request you to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead the yogic ingredients we are offering the demigods, for the Lord is the real enjoyer. Please repeat. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Krishna Deep worship the fire god. O fire god, you are a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. And we carry to him all the offerings of sacrifices. Therefore, we request you to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead the yogic ingredients we are offering to the demigods. For the Lord is the real enjoyer. Purple place, divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The demigods are servants who assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the demigods as servants of the Supreme carry the sacrificial offerings to the Lord, like tax collectors collecting revenue from the citizens and bringing it to the government's treasury. The demigods do not accept the sacrificial offerings. They simply carry the offerings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yashya Prasada Bhagavat Prasadam, since the Guru is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he carries to the Lord whatever is offered to him. Similarly, all the demigods, as faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, hand over to the Supreme Lord whatever is offered to them in sacrificial performances. There is no fault in worshiping the demigods with this understanding, but to think that the demigods are independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and equal to him is called Rita Jnana, a loss of intelligence. The most touched Rita Jnana. One who thinks that the demigods themselves are the actual beneficiaries is mistaken. Om Ganatamanda Shadana Panjana Shavakaya Chakshri Uma Kamina Asma Shri Vedana Shri Tamanomi Shri Sati Tamanomi Bhutana Swam Rupa Kadamayam Janati Swapanantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we're continuing to read descriptions of the different parts of the universe, and we're understanding, as Dr. Chirmaj was describing yesterday, there are many very fantastic places, oceans of ghee, oceans of yogurt, oceans of milk. Probably somebody manufactures some type of suntan lotion that doesn't disintegrate when you bathe in the ocean of liquor or something like that. So many technologies they must also have there in these different places. So not only, this particular verse is helping us understand, not only are there different varieties in terms of the place and the water and the mountains and the land and the trees and what they produce, but there's also different types of consciousness throughout the universe in different places. So here we're reading about the residents of Kusha Deep and how they are worshiping the demigod of fire, understanding his connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Other places in the universe, we know they have different consciousness. Just like here, in the earth planet, we know sometimes if you go out in a country away from the cities, people have a certain type of mentality. Generally, it's a little more simple. It's not as passionate. Oftentimes, it's a little more tendency towards the motor vehicle. If you go in the city, people generally, whatever country you're in, generally the cities, people are much more materialistic and much more passionate. If you go in a park, people have a certain type of mentality. In that place, you go in a pub, there's definitely a very different kind of mentality. In the United States, we have one place called Las Vegas. We used to have a preaching center. There's a temple there now. I was there years ago as a brahmachari. It's not a very nice place for a brahmachari. It was, they're definitely not understanding. They did have a little temple for Lord Brahma in front of one of the casinos. They definitely were not in the mood of worshiping the Lord through the demigods. It was a different mentality. So the same way we see different mentalities in different parts of the world we experience. So here too is a claim there's different mentalities in different planets, different parts within the universe. So here, these particular residents, Kushagri, they're described, you can understand they're very advanced people, very advanced community, because they're worshiping the Lord. Described in a different social order, similar to Brahmanas, Chakravarsas, Sudras, but they're all understanding that ultimately they are meant to worship the Lord. And they particularly have this practice of worshiping the fire god, what is described in this prayer that we're reading today. They very much do so in the mood of understanding. They say, please, O fire god, carry to the Supreme Lord all the offerings of sacrifices we give to you, because you are a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they have this advanced knowledge, their understanding that what they do should be offered for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, that the fire god is a very powerful personality, is a representative of the Lord, all of their sacrifices are meant for the pleasure of the Lord. So this way, they're very advanced in their understanding. Of course, we know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhokkaram Jagatapasam Sava Lokana Hishuram Sadhanam Savabhutanam Jagatam Shanti Nichiti, that the sages, those who know that Krishna is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all the entities, they can achieve peace. Prabhupada would describe this as the peace formula. So here we're understanding, although this place is far distance from here, we're understanding this whole civilization is doing what we're trying to do, which is learn how to offer everything we do to the Lord through the Lord's representatives, understanding that He is the ultimate controller, the enjoyer, and the friend of all living entities. So in the purport, Prabhupada is particularly explaining this is the position of the demigods. And it's interesting, he mentions in one sentence here, because sometimes devotees forget this. He says that there's no fault in worshiping the demigods with this understanding. That was just... I guess I was in Russia, I was meeting with some devotees, and they were describing there's at least a few places in the world where our ISKCON God brothers and God sisters, sometimes in their enthusiasm to put people on the right path, have entered into a particular culture where people have an affection for worshiping the deities, the demigods, and they have a cultural history, habit of doing that. And sometimes devotees have, again, in their enthusiasm, tried to redirect them directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead quickly, oftentimes by cutting whatever affection they may have for the demigods. But the net result in some places has been this government has ended up being banned from their country. So while the intention was very good, the understanding was a little extreme, and the results were harmful to us in terms of our preaching. So Prabhupada's mentioning here that there's no harm with worshiping the demigods. There's no harm in giving respect to the demigods. And as Vaishnavas, we understand, we also definitely should give respect to the demigods. just as Vaishnavas, we understand we give respect to Lord Brahma, probably down to an ant. But sometimes we think, well, we're not supposed to respect government officials because they're not Brahma or they're not an ant, so we don't have to give them. They're not listed. Or sometimes we don't have to respect other people who may have a different view of ours because, you know, they're not listed. But no, it's to understand that Vaishnavas, we see every living entity as respectable because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. They may be more or less forgetful. And here also to explain the demigods, we should be careful that we don't misunderstand the position of the demigods. Some people think the demigods are as good as Krishna, or they think the demigods are Krishna. Well, that's not accepted, that's less intelligent. But similarly, we may be inclined to think they have no value. That's also less intelligent. Sometimes we see in our movement, even within our own communities, even within our own hearts, sometimes devotees who are senior to us, they give us some shelter, they give us some mercy, they give us some instruction, and we benefit from that. And after a short period of time, we may find that we at least think we know as much as they do. Or maybe we've learned a few more verses than they know. Or maybe we can sing better kirtans than they can. And that may lead us to become a little proud. And we may think, well, their position is not so important. Mine is so important. So the same way that would be an offense, honestly. So the same way the demigods, they're very important personalities. We shouldn't disrespect them. So that's been explained to us here. And particularly, these personalities in the Kusha group, the civilization has been glorified because although they're worshiping the demigods, they're understanding, particularly the fire god, their connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're understanding everything they do, they're asking the fire god, please, you carry this to Krishna. So this is a deeply understanding. Whatever we do, let us offer it for the pleasure of the Lord. Whether we offer it as they are doing through a demigod, whether we are serving in our Krishna consciousness, whether we're serving our spiritual masters, our Diksha Guru, also our Siksha Guru, our temple authorities, whatever service we're doing also is ultimately for the pleasure of the Lord. The temple president may ask, please you mop this floor. So we shouldn't think the temple president's not asking. It's not a question of, well, I like him, I don't like him. It should be a mood of, well, he's serving. Sometimes it's she is serving as the representative of the Lord. She's caring for this place. I will act under his or her advice for the pleasure of the Lord. That should be our mentality. And we know that the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to preach this message, actually, a simple message. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away should be done as an offering unto me, Krishna says. It's a very, very simple message, and Prabhupada preached this all over the world. He said, time again and again, you don't have to stop anything you're doing. A few simple things stop at some point, of course. But generally, if someone is a householder or a student or a worker, you don't have to stop that to do it for Krishna. It's a very, very simple message of how people can transform their lives. And it's a very beautiful message that ultimately, as Vaishnavas, we see that everything in this world is connected to Krishna. Therefore, ultimately, it's spiritual. What's not spiritual is my desire to try and enjoy separately from the Lord, or your desire to try and enjoy separately from the Lord. But everything is ultimately coming from Him and is connected to Him. So our mission, our purpose is actually very simple. It's to preach this message of all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away. Do this as an offering to the Lord, as being demonstrated here in this verse. And to preach it and to realize it ourselves. There's two simple things. That's what we're about. As Prabhupada says in the seven purposes of this guy, the first purpose, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large. To systematically propagate the knowledge of Krishna as the enjoyer and the controller, and to realize it ourselves. It's a simple thing. However, as simple as it is, we know it's like, you could say, well, just getting the badges and paddle upstream, it's a simple thing. Here's the boat, here's the paddle, do it. Here's the stroke. Here's the oar, now go. Simple process. But if we're trying to go upstream, it's a little different. The machine is going to learn to do it. So, we live in a world where most people are forgetful of Krishna, they're forgetful of their spiritual position, and unfortunately, we too are very much inclined to think that we are the enjoyer, and to think that others are our competitors. This is a very painful thing in the heart of the Vaishnava, that we see we're trying to become purified. We're trying to see that everyone is my Prabhu, everyone is my master. Yet, in our materialistic mentality, we tend to see other people in one or two ways. As a devotee, we should see that we serve this person because our minds and hearts are so pure. We tend to see I can either enjoy this person or I'm threatened by this person. That's our tendency, to see how we live in that way. They're either something that somehow I can use this person to serve my needs, or there's some competition. Well, if this person gets recognition, well, that's less for me. If this person gets a position, well, that's less for me. If this person gets all the money for Shana, that's very bad. There's none for me. So even among our brothers and sisters and other Vaishnavas, we tend to see like that. And it's unfortunate, it's painful, because we don't want to see like that. We know in the spiritual vision, it's explained throughout our Vaishnava literatures as we go to a spiritual problem of Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is a completely different mentality. The Vaishnava sees that everyone is to be served. Sees that every living entity, whatever their current status, is connected to Krishna, is dear to Krishna, is loved by Krishna, that Krishna is coming into this world to try to deliver that person, and Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita to try to deliver that person. And we tend to think Krishna's very kind, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to deliver me. That's true. But not exclusively me. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita to deliver all those people that are right now all around the world, racing around, pursuing some of the different materialistic things. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita for them, as well as for each of us. So we have this tendency to see people separately from their relationship to Krishna. And we see that this world is something other than just its purpose is to be offered to the Lord. So how do we overcome that? Well, that's the whole process of Krishna consciousness that's been given to us by Śrīla Prabhupāda in the previous acharyas about practicing in the main processes of bhakti. Our hearts become purified. And gradually we begin to think and we begin to speak and we begin to act in the natural platform of understanding I'm a servant. I'm a servant. It's not that we're having a discussion last few days, and other places I put it on the world. Sometimes we talk about making sure that within our society, as much as possible, we do everything in the mode of goodness. Everything should be truthful, everything should be honest, everything should be straightforward, as much as possible. And it's interesting because sometimes when we talk with devotees, we say, yeah, everything should be pukka. Everything pukka. Yes, yes, everything pukka. And then you explain what it means to be pukka. You know, the last, you can go through grocery stores where they don't have anybody there counting the things. You pick it up and you put it in front of a scanner and you go beep beep and it charges you money. So, they do this because they can save labor costs, there's less employees, it's all recognized. But it's also very easy to forget that one or two things in the bottom of your cart. It's very easy. So you pay for the first 5 or 10, but the ones in the bottom, you may forget. So sometimes we may think, well, I pay for most of them. I was mostly honest. That's not honest. Most of the honest is not honest. So, you know, sometimes we tend to think like that, that don't come and have conversations sometimes with devotees, and you go, yeah, don't come. You go, don't come. You go, yeah, don't come. You go, oh, you mean don't come. Like, you really mean, you're supposed to pay for all the groceries? Like that. Yeah. Supposed to pay for all the groceries. You're supposed to tell the truth all the time? Yeah. All the time. Now we know there's rare examples. Examples there in the Mahabharat. Minister tried out this. Once your tongue is dead. One time. But we tend to sometimes think that's the example. That's the extreme. There's a story of somebody, you know, I don't remember the name of the woman. Recently, I think he was given a name, who always told the truth no matter what. One time, the story of the black horse were chasing some innocent people, and they ran through his ashram and trying to hide from these murderous thieves. And then the black horse come and asked this saintly person, where did they go? They thought, I have to tell the truth. I always tell the truth. He said, that way. And then they caught up with him and, you know, killed them or stole them. It was terrible. So that's an extreme and unusual case. So in that circumstance, he was trying to be saintly, but actually he should have protected those innocent people. But it's very easy to start thinking the opposite. Whatever is convenient becomes sacred. But that's not sattvic. Sattvic means whatever is inconvenient, but it's right, I should do it. That's what it really means to be sattvic. So, in this context, that trying to become servants, understanding that actually, what does it mean to be a servant? Prabhupada gives this example that the demigods don't think anything belongs to them. And he gives an example many, many times. If you work for a bank, you may have millions of dollars, you never think one paisa or one penny belongs to you. It all belongs to the proprietor. So as devotees, we're meant to come to this understanding that it all belongs to Krishna. Now we may think this, yes, it all belongs to Krishna. Except, you see, but you don't really mean it all belongs to Krishna. You just mean mostly belongs to Krishna. But that's not what Prabhupada says. That's not what the demigods are saying. Dear fire god, you know everything belongs to Krishna except the little you put aside. That's not what they're saying. They're saying you are worshipable because you know it all belongs to Krishna. We know if we give it to you, it's all going to go to Krishna. So in a similar way, as devotees, we have to understand, yes, I know I'm a servant of everybody, but not him. Or not her. Or not those ones. I'll be a servant on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but not Thursday. It's too much. Isn't it? I'll be a servant when the very wealthy day of peace come. But when the poor villagers come, I'm not their servant. Isn't it? Therefore, Prabhupada says you should serve the rich and wealthy. Right? That's our philosophy, isn't it? Serve the rich and the beautiful and the wealthy, right? Is that our philosophy? That's the materialist philosophy. I should serve the wealthy because maybe I'll get some money. In America, they have many countries. I live in Washington, D.C. They have these lotteries. People are gambling. Once in a while, someone wins a big amount of money. As soon as they win, all of a sudden, so many friends they never knew they had, they come out of the woodwork. They up here. Their long distance cousin hasn't seen them for 40 years. But amazingly, just by coincidence, now that they won $1 million, this cousin happened to learn of them and came to share with them their affection. Or so many things like that. So many friends come. Do you remember me? Don't you remember me? I was your schoolmate when we were 9 years old. Remember? I was always your best friend. I heard you won this money. I mean, I just learned about you. So I come to visit your house. When does the party start? Okay. So We don't want to serve just the rich and the beautiful and the famous. We want to serve everyone. I'm a servant. That's so sweet. And also understand that nothing belongs to me. My house doesn't belong to me. My car doesn't belong to me. My doctor doesn't belong to me. My spouse doesn't belong to me. My children don't belong to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. And I'm a servant. This is especially important for us to try to manifest this quality, or these qualities here in Mayapur. This is the world headquarters. This gorgeous temple is coming up. Every day more and more bricks are being put in place. The countdown is there. It's just a few more years. Already so many more people are coming here. They're attracted to Mayapur. They're attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Srirada Madhava and the Vaishnavas and the book distribution. But when they come, we have to share with them a spiritual experience. That's our job. Not that we just provide a building or just provide a room or we just provide some food and they pay some money and go away or they buy a few trinkets when they're at the store. But we actually want to try to help them experience Krishna consciousness and go away with a positive experience. And generally, people don't understand our philosophy very well. There's so many people who have been coming to our temples for years. They still think when you become realized, you become Krishna. Yes, worship Krishna, then become Krishna. Yes? So many people come here. They may have so many different ideas. That's okay in the beginning stages. We're all confused. Every one of us. I'm still confused. I remember when I first came to the temple, I don't even know if I saw the deities. There was just so much color there and flowers and cloth and the faces behind it. I couldn't even see there was Krishna. I was so confused. So people may be confused. The philosophy, they may not understand so well, but they will understand Vaishnava culture if we manifest it. If people come here and feel cared for, if they feel respected, if they feel valued, if they feel that the people that live here are actually manifesting some genuine loving relationships between them and God, then they'll be very attractive. If they come here and they say, yeah, we have wonderful books that teach about the love of God, we have time to answer some questions. I have no time. So where's the love? If people come and we say, yes, this philosophy that teaches us how to become selfless, but then we deal with them in a selfish way, or not a selfless way. What's going to be more important, our words or our actions? So it's very important in our world headquarters here that we are, you are, each one of us, we are ambassadors. We're representatives of Radha Madhava, we're representatives of Srila Prabhupada, we're representatives of our spiritual masters. And our duty is to do so by remembering that we're servants and to try to give everyone the opportunity to understand Krishna. And of course, that means first and foremost, are we seeing each other as servants of Krishna, as Vaishnavas? We talk about the importance of treating other people that come here in the proper space. How do we see each other? Do we see the rich man from Calcutta different from the poor villager? Or do we see these are pure spirit souls, some people lost in the world, who now have a chance to reconnect with Krishna? And the fact that we don't know these people's position, that the poor, the poverty-stricken village lady, old lady, her spiritual rise with Krishna may be much higher than the wealthy man from Calcutta. We don't know these things, we don't really care. But the point is, we can't discriminate. We can't think because this man is wealthy or famous, he's more dear to Krishna. And maybe socially he's a higher position, we should offer him a little extra social respect, a nicer place to stay. He has different expectations of how we deal with it. But in our hearts, we have to deal with everyone the same, as much as possible. And how are we going to do that with others if we're not very careful to do it ourselves? Just like we know we have our GP meeting is going on this week. And Prabhupada instructed that the entire GBC, you know, they come every January, February for the wonderful festival. Prabhupada said the international leadership of our whole movement is to come here every year. He said to discuss one thing, unity and diversity. You should come every year and discuss unity and diversity. Why? Because by the grace of the Kingdom of Mahaprabhu, we're probably the most extraordinary, the most, unified, the most diverse community, one of the most diverse communities in the world. I mean, if you walk around Maya Post festival time, you can hear 40, 50, I don't have the year to discriminate, you might hear 75 different languages. There's people here from hundreds of different countries, from so many different social backgrounds and educational backgrounds and cultural backgrounds. But we're all together, but the question is, are we united? Well, we're not going to be united if we see each other as Russian nationalists, or American nationalists, or tall Vaishnavas, or short Vaishnavas, or women Vaishnavas, or men Vaishnavas. We can't really see that. Of course, for our practical interactions, I personally love to go to the Russian Vaishnava restaurant and have some borscht now and then. So I'm glad we have Russian Vaishnavas. But in a higher sense, I have to be very careful that I don't start seeing, that I don't allow myself to see the difference. Because really, there is no difference. But if you see a difference, if you discriminate, then that can minimize the respectful relationships between us, it can minimize the loving relationships between us, and it can cause, if we're not careful, some division. Therefore, Prabhupada said every year, discuss unity and diversity. How do we stay unified despite the fact that we're diverse? And the fact that we're diverse is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful that we've got white bodies and black bodies and brown bodies and southern hemisphere bodies and northern. That's the proof of Prabhupada's potency. That's the proof of our philosophy. But in terms of our preaching potency, it's only as good as we believe it and we act on it, especially with each other. And we have to struggle a little bit because we tend to see each other as these bodies. We tend to discriminate. And sometimes discriminate against one another. And this then becomes a distraction. It can actually become a source of disturbance to us. So the same way Prabhupada said we should come every year and discuss this unity and diversity, all of us, we should think like that. We should pray, especially those of us that are living in Mayapur, while we're in Mayapur, how do we develop this realization of unity and diversity? How do we act in that way? Do we see the diversity as a source of strength? It's not a weakness that there's so much diversity. In the world today, many nations, they're debating now on a political level. There's too much variety within our country. We're supposed to be this particular group, this ethnic group, this language, this religion, and that's who we are. There's too many foreigners here. There's too many different people. It's threatening our national identity. Let's push all those people away again. For many years, the trend's been to open the boundaries, open the national doorways, and living this diversity. People are starting to use too much diversity. ISKCON says there's never enough diversity. Lord Chaitanya wanted the trees to chant, the dogs to chant, the kids. There's never too much diversity. We want more and more and more and more and more diversity. But we have to have the right heart in order for that diversity to always be a source of strength. So we should pray like that, we can see our diversity as a source of strength. And we may have differences. We do have differences. That's fine. We can discuss those differences. Because through those differences, we can learn from one another. We should never think, what I know about Krishna consciousness is the way to serve Krishna. Then we're in trouble. Then we're no different than all the different religious fanatics in the world. Even within our society, there's so many diverse ways of serving Krishna. We have so many devotees that perform this wonderful service of distributing Prabhupada's books. So important. Prabhupada stressed it again and again and again. Distribute my books. He also, at least on one occasion, told one devotee, this accounting is the most important service. Accounting. Not many of us do accounting, but Prabhupada said it's the most important service. So we shouldn't think that this service is important and that service isn't. We shouldn't think that devotees from this part of the world are important and this part of the world aren't. We shouldn't think that the disciples are important and the children are not. No, it's ritualistic concept of Krishna. We should understand all the devotees are important. Why? Because they're all connected to Krishna. And through this realization of these devotees from Akusha Dvaita, these personalities, demigods, and these higher planets, or the personalities that are connecting, they're offering everything to the demigods because they see everything in connection with Krishna. If we forget that, just like we see the examples there, the Gaudiya Mathas, they had their instruction to cooperate, and unfortunately they weren't able to do so, therefore their ability to preach was much minimized. We wish them all success. There's much preaching going on by our Gaudiya Mathas cousins around the world today. That's wonderful. But to a large extent, the preaching was minimized, almost stopped, because they couldn't cooperate, because they couldn't get overseen their differences. So we must see our differences, respect our differences, see the beauty in our differences, be enriched in our differences, and be willing to discuss in terms of our differences of opinions, and there's always a little bit of respect. And if we do that, then we build a very, very solid foundation. It's more important, the quality of what we do at this stage of our movement, is we push on so many things, the quantity. Quantity is important, but the quality is also important. You know, we want to have a lot of people at the Sunday feast, but we want happy people at the Sunday feast. We want to have a lot of prasadam at the Sunday feast, but we want it to be tasty prasadam at the Sunday feast. We want to have a lot of people in our educational programs, but we want to have quality education. We want millions of people to come here, but we want to make sure they go home and say, that's a wonderful place. Those are wonderful people. They're so spiritual. They're so kind. They're so clean. They're so respectful. Their relationships with each other are like spiritual relationships. I want to go back there again. I want to be like those people. That's the impression we want to live. They may notice so many different things, but that's going to change their hearts more than anything else. So, a nice example. In the place of Kusha Dvip, they're seeing everything in relationship to Krishna. We should try to do so and remember that it begins not just some intellectual, philosophical theory, but how we live our day-to-day lives, how we treat the guests that come here, the pilgrims that come here, and especially how we treat ourselves. It's not easy to do, but that's our job. That's our seva. That's the work. That's the proportion that we have to undergo. That's our day-to-day effort. How will I not see myself as this body today? How will I not see other people as materialistic energy, like devotees of Krishna? If we do that, our potency, our cooperative spirit, our ability to push on our movement, no one will be able to check it. But if we have big buildings or so many temples around the world, that when people walk in the door, they don't experience that Krishna conscious environment, they may not have much effect. So I'll stop there. Maybe there's one or two questions. Is this really clear? So we have a few minutes if there's anything. If there's more, I spoke earlier yesterday. But it's okay to go to a nine. Okay, so we have a few more. Any questions or comments?
A small comment. What you mentioned about Srila Prabhupada saying that devotees from all over the world should come to Mayapur to practice the mood of unity and diversity. So I think this wonderful temple that is coming up, this is a test of our unity and diversity. The more we become involved by sacrificing our time and efforts and money in building this temple, we show our sincerity and honesty in trying to unite, even though we have so many diverse projects in our own zones. So that is a wonderful example that you gave. And this is something that I realized in my presentations everywhere.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to, the other thing you were speaking about, honesty and support and being proper, there is a small Dushkanta I heard. One time there was a world religious conference in England and all kinds of people were there. So at the end there was a topic as to how do different people of different religious faiths, they share their wealth, how much of it they use for themselves and how much they use for God. So three major people got together, the Christian, the Muslim, and the Hindu. And the Christian,
I know the story, but maybe just say three priests came together.
The three priests.
Otherwise, there's a higher and a lower. I know the person.
Okay. So one priest said, they draw a line and throw the money up, and whatever falls on the other side goes to God, whatever falls on my side, it remains with us. And the other priest said, well, we draw a circle and throw the money up, and whatever falls within the circle goes to God, whatever goes outside, we keep for ourselves. The third priest said, we have a very simple process. We throw the money up, whatever God catches belongs to Him, whatever falls down comes to us. So the essence of that story is, let us not be like the third priest.
So what is your purport to the story?
The purport is, let us be Papa. And not have this action of throwing the money for God and keeping the rest for ourselves. So this is the meaning of God. They're both very honest. So thank you very much for pointing that out.
Thank you. And as leaders, of course, we have to make sure, you know, we shouldn't think that, okay, so therefore everyone else should live extremely simple and we use everything for Krishna, but of course they need to be comfortable. You know, we should, everyone needs to, you know, promise it's simple living. We shouldn't be artificial. We should live simple, reasonably comfortable, but use the block for Krishna. We can take care of ourselves, but the block should be used for Krishna. So thank you. That's a hard story to follow up. Anyone else have a comment? Ladies, any questions or comments? Okay, then we'll start by thanking you very, very much. Shiva Prabhupada Sanki Jai. Shiva Prabhupada Sanki Jai. Shiva Prabhupada Sanki Jai.